It may be no news to you that building projects undertaken by the owners of pro sports franchises are often underwritten with your tax dollars. But did you know that the total cost to the public for sports stadia built or renovated between 1991 and 2004 was nearly $16 billion? Statistics like that pepper an article titled "Let's Eliminate Sports Welfare" by Patrick Ruby. The article appears on the website Sports on Earth, and Patrick Ruby joins me from NPR in Washington. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
You single out Paul Brown Stadium, where the Cincinnati Bengals play, as, quote, perhaps the single greatest boondoggle in the history of public stadium financing.
Right.
How did this particular deal qualify for that remarkable distinction?
Well, the deal that they ended up signing, I mean, it's something like $500 million plus of public financing coming from a county where they're having to cut like basic social services to pay the debt service on this. And here's the other crazy thing about this is it's not just the basic deal. It's the county literally has to pay for improvements to the stadium. They have to pay for like potential future improvements. It's written into the contract that if there is a future holographic display device,
which there
will need to
be
built. Yeah, if that happens, they're going to have to pay for it. It's actually written to the deal. That's the best example of how bad it is.
The argument in favor of public financing for ballparks and arenas is that the new venues create new jobs. But you have presented the argument that having a stadium or a team in a particular area might actually reduce average incomes. How's that?
Well, there's a professor at UMBC, Dennis Coates, who has actually looked at that question. And he actually determined, just again, he's got no dog in the fight. He's just an economist looking at the figures. He's found that like the sort of having the, what he calls the sports environment, which is basically having teams and arenas in a certain area, it actually correlates with reduced overall incomes of about $40 per family. Study after study after study after study has been done that shows that the overall economic impact of building stadiums is almost always negligible. You know, every dollar that's spent in an area going to the game or maybe going to a restaurant right around the stadium, it would have been spent going to the movies or going to a bowling alley or somehow otherwise spent in the community. So you're just sort of shuffling money around. You're not actually creating new income and new wealth.
One of the popular ways to raise money for stadium construction is to levy an additional tax on hotel rooms or rental cars. Tell us about the testimony of Brian Frederick, who heads a fan advocacy group called Sports Fans Coalition, regarding who gets clobbered by these taxes and who benefits.
Well, we get clobbered as people, as consumers. Brian's a friend of mine. He's here in D.C. He's kind of like a lobbyist for sports fans in a way. And he testified before Congress about how, you know, he goes home to Kansas City. He rents a car, costs, you know, maybe $10, $11 a day. But then there's almost like another $40 of rental taxes that are added to that. And the reason they're added is because Kansas City built the Sprint Center a few years ago, which is an arena in the hopes of attracting a pro team. There's actually no pro team that plays there right now. There's no pro basketball team. There's no hockey team in Kansas City. And they paid for it almost exclusively with rental car taxes and other sort of like downtown hotel restaurant type taxes. So this is literally passing the buck for sports enjoyment from actual fans to just anyone who happens to be visiting the town.
One of the more bizarre facts in your story is that the IRS does in fact consider the National Football League a nonprofit. The NFL takes in $9 billion a year. They pay Commissioner Roger Goodell $10 million annually. How can this cash cow be considered a nonprofit?
Well, you know, it's really this arcane legal thing where it's actually written to the law. Now, there's a certain class of, you know, 501 charities, things like your Chamber of Commerce, for instance, where they sort of are these groups that exist to promote something. The NFL qualifies for this. And by the way, so does the NHL and the PGA. But the NFL was actually specifically written into the law on this point. And this happened back in the 60s when the NFL and the AFL merged. I'm sure there must have been some high-powered lobbying.
Gee, you think?
That at the time that arranged for this. Their executives make millions and millions and millions of dollars because they actually don't want to show a profit. So there's actually incentive for them to pay their executives that much more.
Sports Fan Coalition Executive Director Brian Frederick has said that the issue of sports welfare is, quote, a bipartisan cause. Is that correct?
I think it is. In fact, if you look at what's happening in the fiscal cliff, it's almost like a perfect opportunity because Democrats can raise revenues by getting rid of this. And meanwhile, Republicans can say, okay, we're getting rid of government waste and inefficient spending, but we're not raising taxes. So it's kind of a win-win for both parties. And I do think if they could do something like this, it would actually help build some trust and some cooperation to tackle like the much bigger things that they can't seem to agree on right now.
Well, you've done your homework on this issue, Patrick. What is the likelihood that all or part of this phenomenon, what you've labeled sports welfare, will be addressed in Congress or anywhere else anytime soon?
You know, that makes me sigh because it's been going on for so long. My feeling is that it may not get addressed. I mean, look, the actual dollar signs in terms of the overall federal budget and even the overall, you know, big state budgets, this isn't a huge amount of dollars, but it is a huge amount of dollars in terms of the kinds of public services and goods you could be buying instead. There's a big opportunity cost there. It is real money. On one hand, I think if people are made aware of it, and they're made aware of it in a global sense, like it's not just the stadium in my town, but this is happening everywhere. This is happening all over the country. And it's not just happening in the local level. It's happening at the federal level with this nonprofit status and these tax-exempt bonds. If people can kind of put it all together, then maybe there could be a groundswell of support for this. And maybe, you know, there'd be political gain for people in Congress to actually take this on.
What about the argument that nothing is going to change until fans stop believing team owners who say, if you don't build me a new palace, I'm going to take my ball and go home and it'll be a new home, a different city?
I agree with half that argument. Fans do need to be involved, but they need to be involved not as fans. They need to be involved as citizens. So much of this stuff happens because people aren't really paying attention. The best example of that is the just fiasco in Miami. They built a new stadium for the Marlins, and it's going to ultimately cost them about $2 billion on a stadium that's like about $500 million plus of public financing. This all kind of happened behind closed doors with the city council, so much to the point that the SEC has actually launched an investigation of the stadium deal. After this happened, Mayor Carlos Alvarez, who was one of the big advocates of building the stadium, he lost a recall election, and he lost by the worst margin in a recall election in American history. People really do have power. Fans have power. Citizens have power. But you have to keep your eyes open. You have to pay attention to this. You have to connect the dots and realize this is your money, and it's being used for things that you may not really like.
Patrick Ruby's article, Let's Eliminate Sports Welfare, appeared on the Sports on Earth website. Patrick, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It's a pleasure.
You can find Only a Game online at onlyagame.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. And today on our Facebook page, facebook.com/onlyagameradio, we ask you, is it worth spending tax dollars to keep your favorite team in your city? Share your thoughts at facebook.com/onlyagameradio.